Kofi Annan is still hoping Syria can see at least a level of peace by the 12th of April, though his proposed peace initiative was not implemented on schedule. What is really preventing an end to violence, and where is the Syrian crisis headed if the peace plan becomes impractical? I'm Homa Lezgi, and this is another edition of News Analysis.
The clock is ticking on Kofi Annan's peace plan, which aims to put an end to over a year of unrest in Syria that has claimed thousands of lives. The Syrian government has come under immense pressure in recent days to fully withdraw its troops from violence-hit cities. The pressures have been coupled with intensification of attacks launched by opposition groups that receive aid from foreign countries. Damascus says it has begun sending its soldiers back to their barracks in several cities. This despite continued flow of weapons and aid to anti-government armed groups.
Withdrew some of the military units from some of the provinces, and we are trying to commit ourselves to the Annan plan, to the six-point plan.
The Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov has called on Annan to exert more pressure on opposition groups and their foreign supporters to urgently stop their attacks on government forces. Annan says he is still hopeful that both sides would honor his proposal to end the violence.
So let me again appeal to the Syrian government and the Syrian parties to cease violence in accordance with the plan. And I believe there should be no preconditions for stopping violence. That is something we need to do for the people and for the country concerned.
Anti-Syria countries led by the United States are already talking of failure of Annan's plan. White House spokesman Jay Carney has said the UN Security Council must take measures against Damascus if Annan finds President Assad's government in breach of its commitments. Many in Syria believe that it's unjustifiable for the West and its allies to put pressure on Damascus while fueling the violence by sending weapons to opposition groups.
We did not ask for guarantees. We asked for equal rights. We asked for guarantees from those who said they will arm the Syrian people against themselves. The guarantees we asked for from the United Nations are our right. Are they ready for this?
The deadline for implementation of a truce between the government and armed gangs is set at 6 o'clock on Thursday. However, many analysts say the West wants the peace plan to fail so it could put more pressure on Assad's government.
Well, joining me now live from London is Christopher Walker, political commentator. Also with us live from Beirut, Mr. Omar Nashabi, editor of the Al Akhbar Weekly. And live in Damascus, Mr. Ahmad Dash, Syrian tribal leader. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for being with us. I'd like to put my first question to our guest in Damascus, Mr. Shalash. The Free Syrian Army said on Monday that it's ready to implement the plan that was proposed by Kofi Annan. At the same time, Kofi Annan is saying that the government has also agreed to the terms of the plan. So what is stopping the implementation?
Good evening, madam, and good evening to the viewers that they are watching us in your country. First of all, I would like to explain that what's happening is a joke. Somebody is speaking in a way and the others are acting in another way. For example, Kofi Annan came to us and he agreed with our government about the plan that he put on, and we said okay, and he was very happy about it. Went out and to the other countries to explain to them that Syria is ready for this kind of plan. And all of a sudden, there was a meeting in Istanbul with the enemies of Syria, and they attacked the initiative before it starts. And they are saying that Syria is the reason about the failure. Starting from now, they are judging the initiative with failure. And do you think that this is proper to do when the government of Syria is committed to do this kind of plan with the welfare of the country and welfare of the people inside this country? And all of a sudden, these people are planning to finance the terrorists people and give them arms. So what kind of plan do you think that will have success in this way? I think it's a big joke. What's happening is a big joke.
Mr. Omar Nashabi, the Syrian government has said that armed groups have intensified their attacks following news that the government agreed to the deal in order to create chaos and in order to prevent the plan's materialization. Anan, meanwhile, today was saying that though the army has withdrawn from some areas, that the Syrian army have been attacking new targets. So basically, which side is to blame here when we're speaking about preventing the implementation of this plan?
Yes, let's first take a look at the situation clearly. I mean, there are calls for ceasefire and for the cease of hostilities and the cease of killing in the streets. And when there is a call for ceasefire, there are two sides. There's not just one side. And I think that's the problem with Western media, is that Western media is focusing only on the Syrian official army. It's not focusing on the armed gangs that are there, because perhaps they are supported by the same sources that fund these media sources, I mean these media outlets. So I think that this is a situation where I think that if you will have a ceasefire, and that's the first step of the plan, a second step would be to go for dialogue, and the third step for some reforms and elections. But for the first step, and that's the most crucial step, because without stability and without a ceasefire, you cannot move towards any progress. So this will need, as my colleague said from Syria, this will require some pressure from these international forces that are supporting the armed groups. These international forces, including especially Turkey and Qatar and the United States and the European Union, need to provide guarantees that they will cease to instigate these terrorist groups and these armed groups inside Syria, and would compel them to cease fire so that we can move to the next step. The Syrian government made a pledge, and it said that it's going to hold its fire. However, this is not possible. I mean, one should know that the Syrian army is the official army recognized until today by the United Nations, whereas the other groups are rogue groups that are only recognized as representative by the conference in Istanbul. That's it. So on an international law basis...
Yeah, I'd just like to stop you there, if I may.
The Syrian government is the authority there that is supposed to provide stability.
Right. When you say that some international forces, in your words, are supporting these armed groups, and that's impeding the peace plan, Christopher Walker, I'd like to discuss this issue with you as well. Kofi Annan was in Turkey today, and while he was sitting next to a Turkish official, he said Turkey had warned him early on that it had doubts about his peace plan. Do you blame Turkey and Qatar for impeding the peace plan by continuing to fund and equip armed groups? And what do you think Kofi Annan has been doing about that?
Well, I think he's had a very hard job indeed. And of course, the claims and counterclaims from both sides have made this whole plan come to fruition amidst an awful amount of pessimism. There were accusations in the West that the Syrians had shot across the border into Turkey only hours before the plan was due to come into operation. This added to the gloom, and frankly, the pessimism is so great that nobody really sees there's much hope to it. Both sides seem determined to stick by their views. The views of the Syrian government are that this is a foreign-funded uprising, and the point of view of the random opposition groups appears to be that they are being shot at. And frankly, the news is so disparate and coming out often in unverified blogs and private film on telephones that it's almost impossible to put a truthful picture together.
Back to Damascus, our guest, Mr. Shalash. Today, Mr. Shalash, Kofi Annan was saying that the Syrian government, rather the Syrian army, though it's withdrawn from some areas, it's been targeting new areas which weren't targeted before, and attacks have been continuing. Basically, so would you say, first of all, tell us why the Syrian army is, according to Kofi Annan's intelligence, still continuing those attacks at the same time that it's announced that it is withdrawing its military forces from some provinces?
First of all, if Kofi Annan have his intelligence in Damascus or in Syria, that means that he have spies here. Second of all, this initiative is dead before it gets birth. You know, I would like to tell you something. Even if we have done everything they have asked, they will still kill this initiative, because they don't want peace for Syria. So let me relieve these people from their pain, finish up, and let's show us what we've got. What have you got? And start what you want to start, because it's a plan A, B, C, D. First of all, the Institute of the League of Arab Countries started giving us chances and sending us representatives here in Syria and observers. And when when their plan was scanned, and when their plan was exposed by the Dabi, they took him out and they didn't say any word. Now we've got Kofi Annan. And Kofi Annan is the second person who's coming to Syria, but this one as a clown. So we in Syria, and me as myself, I'm speaking as an independent person, as a Syrian person, who have the right to speak what he've got. I think that he's a joker. He's not more than this. Right. He's coming to show the world that Syria is not doing what is asked out of her. And now we've got two places with firing on the borders. First of all, Turkey, and the second is Lebanon. And both of them are accusing Syria of trespassing about their borders. I think the joke will start from now to show us the other face of these kind of countries, especially Turkey. But I would like to tell the people who are watching us now, if they step just one step in the Syrian territories, the Syrian land, they will be buried inside this land.
Mr. Omar Nashabi, if you agree with this analysis that an effort is actually underway to undermine this peace proposal, as I guess in Damascus saying the plan already dead before it's implemented, who do you think is behind this effort to undermine such a plan? And why would they want to undermine it? Is it because, for instance, as I guess suggested, they want to launch a military attack on Syria? Is it because they want President Assad to step down?
Yes, I want to start by saying that I fully understand the emotional expressions by my colleague from Damascus. His country is under attack, and I just want to just make one thing clear, that there is no one officially in Lebanon that made an official accusation of trespassing the Lebanese territory. These are opinions by individuals and some political groups. But the Lebanese official position is not really accusing Syria of trespassing Lebanese territory. We in Lebanon, there is a clear understanding that there is an attack on Syria, that there are some international forces smuggling weapons and money into Syria. And that is something that is contrary to the Arab League and contrary to the international agreements between Lebanon and Syria. And therefore, the Lebanese army should make sure that this does not happen from the Lebanese side. That is the official position in Lebanon.
Right.
When it comes to Mr. Kofi Annan, I think there is a necessity for any serious initiative. Your guest from Damascus is perceiving that this initiative is not serious enough. Mm-hmm. And I do understand his concern, because there are people dying every day, and there is an assault on Syria, and the Syrian institutions are being destroyed by the day, and there is infiltration of weapons and of large amounts of money to corrupt the system from within. It seems apparently that the international forces, and I disagree with your guest from London, who said that the situation was not clear. The situation is very clear,
Anyone could see the images of the, there are gunmen, and you can see them, and they just showed them right now on the screen. These gunmen have been killing people and have been shooting at government forces for the past 6 months, sir, and therefore for this period they need to have support, and the source of support is Turkey and Qatar and the West and the United States and Europe. And there are some intelligence forces supporting these groups. If there is a care, if the priority is a ceasefire and the lives of innocent civilians, then these Western forces should put pressure on these armed thugs, these armed groups, to cease fire immediately. The Syrian government made an official position, an official pledge. Let's put this to the test. These gunmen should stop immediately because there are people dying on the streets. There's a destruction of Syria. The priority should be stability. That is the position of the Russian Federation and of the People's Republic of China in compliance with the UN Charter, that the direction of the United Nations and of the Security Council should be towards dialogue and peace
Mr. Nashabi,
and security,
I have a few
not towards
questions.
Toppling a government.
I have a couple of questions on your stance there, but first let's get the response from our guest in London. Christopher Walker, do you agree with the statement that our guest in Beirut is saying that the situation is clear enough and the problem is that countries like Turkey and Qatar or Saudi Arabia are now funding these armed groups and that's what's preventing peace in Syria?
Well, that's certainly how it looks, I'm sure, to the Syrian government. But as in all these matters, they are not clear. I totally have to disagree with that because there are various sorts of interested parties who are putting out their own viewpoint. And I think a particular problem in this area is the lack of open reporting that has been allowed on this conflict. So you can't it's not that one side's view is clear and one side's is misty. It depends from which the location you're looking at. And I agree with your colleague that when he's looking from Damascus and seeing his television films and hearing his news broadcasts, it must look very clear.
But Mr. Walker,
similarly,
the
in the West,
is
it's different.
Not clear. Yeah, Mr. Walker, sorry for jumping in here. If I could just put this question to Mr. Walker as well. Basically, what do you think about the Kofi Annan proposal? Do you think that it's become impractical now? Would you agree with our guest in Damascus that it's not going to work, that this plan is already dead?
Yes, I think it was, unfortunately, like a dead baby. It was born without very much hope in the world. And the fact that Mr. Annan is spending all this time is really, I totally agree with your colleague in Damascus, it's becoming a joke. Where's he going to end up next for his circus?
Right. And back to Damascus, Mr. Sharaj, Kofi Annan was saying today in his press conference, if you take this option off the table, what would you replace it with? Basically, if this plan becomes impractical, what's going to happen? We know that the UN Security Council is discussing the Syrian crisis. We know that the United States has said they're considering to take further steps. What further steps do you think are going to be taken on the Syrian case?
Well, let us agree with my friends that, first of all, as I told you before, it's a plan, A, B, C, D. It's similar to the same plan that they are doing with you in Iran now, with Iran. It's similar with the plan that they have done with Iraq. First of all, they make an initiative, and then the initiative fails. And then they start uprising their demands, and then they are going out to the United Nations and making laws and sending orders, and at the end they are going to attack. Now let's agree together that about one thing: the United States will not agree, will not attack, even Europe will not attack. So we've got one enemy now. As Syrian, I'm telling you, we've got only one enemy because all the plans have failed that they are putting. Because every time they do something, we show to the world that they are liars. Now they still got one thing to do, to attack Syria, and this is the final thing that they can do. Because everything else is finished. Even Kofi Annan's plan is finished, as I'm telling you, and someday maybe together we will be on this screen
and we will discuss it together. Because they want it to be failed. It's born dead, as I told you. It's born dead. Kofi Annan is a joker. They put him in this, in this kind of picture to show the world that they have put a big man in front of the people to show that Kofi Annan, his plan is failing. That's why. But they want him to fail. Look at the Istanbul summit that happened, the Friends of Syria. They call it Friends of Syria, but it is the enemies of Syria. Everybody is paying from his pocket money. Everybody is telling to arm the terrorists.
Right.
Nobody said that we want things to be easy in Syria. Nobody said that we want peace in Syria. Everybody demands that our president step down. And this will not happen. We, as a Syrian people, we are ready to go to war with any country who will try to do something to our sacred land. Syria is sacred. Okay. And they must know it. And I'm not emotional, my friend in Lebanon. Thank you for your kindness. But I'm not emotional. Right. These are facts, what I'm speaking about. It's not emotions.
Okay,
they want
you.
His plan to fail. From day one, they sent him to Syria. They know that they are going to make his plan fail.
Okay, thank you very much,
so
Mr.
Ahmad. So now I think they are going to go to Plan C.
Okay, Syrian tribal leader joining us there from Damascus, Mr. Ahmad Shiraj. Thank you very much, sir, for your participation in the program. But let's go to Beirut now. Mr. Omar Nashabi, would you say that there is a plan for a military or foreign intervention? Is Plan C really about getting involved militarily?
I don't think that the Western forces have the capacity to actually engage in such an attack on Syria. But I do want to go back to the clarity of the situation. I really could not understand what is not clear for your guests in London. Is it not clear that innocent civilians, and we are not just talking about Syrian media or some politically motivated media, we are talking about an article, a report published in Der Spiegel recently about some of the people who have been engaged in massacres inside Syria, and that's Western media, I believe. But anyway, I don't understand what's not clear. Is it that innocent people are being killed is not clear? Is it that there are two fighting forces? Is it that not clear? There are two fighting forces.
Well, Mr. Nashabi, if I could stop you there, if I may.
That would presume that you need to
put some pressure
on both sides.
We're running out of time. I'd just like to give the last comments to Mr. Walker before we end the show. Mr. Walker, do you think that a military intervention is going to happen? Does the West have the capacity to do that? And just under a minute, if you could also tell that to us.
I think it is edging in that direction, but it's still a long way off. And don't forget, an American election is on the way, and another foreign intervention costing lives would not be popular. So I would put my money on there not being a Libyan-type intervention at the moment.
Mr. Christopher Walker, political commentator, joining us there live from London. Thank you very much, sir. A big thank you as well to our guest in Beirut, Mr. Omar Nashabi, editor of Al Akhbar Weekly. And we also, of course, had with us from Damascus, Mr. Ahmad Shalash, a Syrian tribal leader. Thank you very much for staying with us. Until our next program, from me, Homa Lezgi, and the rest of the team, it's goodbye.